I'm going to talk Ebola again. The outbreak in West Africa, one of the countries that's most affected by this is Sierra Leone. The disease there has killed 500 people at least. More than 1,600 others have been infected. So they're responding to this, and starting tomorrow, the country's going to be in an unprecedented three-day lockdown. People won't be able to leave their homes until Sunday. Imagine that. 3 days. You can't leave your home, but I suppose it might be what you have to do to deal with a disease like this. So the idea is it will help doctors isolate new cases. And then if they can do that, then they can prevent the disease from spreading further. At least I think that's the idea. Joining me now is Dr. Oliver Johnson, who's been in Freetown in Sierra Leone for 2 years as part of a program by Britain's King's Health Partners. Joins us now. Oliver, thank you very much for joining us. Has lockdown begun yet? Oh, sorry, it begins tomorrow. So preparations are underway, I imagine.
Preparations are underway at the moment. I think there's a sense in the city of everything being quite subdued. When I drove to work this morning, there are long queues outside local stores as people stock up on food. Everything's very quiet. It's normally a city with music and parties. And at the moment, I think there's a palpable tension across the city as people plan for the next few days and wonder what's going to happen.
How do you lock down a country?
Well, this is actually something that's happened before. Periodically, the government shuts down the country for just a day normally. They're called cleaning days, where people have to stay at home, clean their compounds, clean the street outside. And basically, the streets are deserted. The shops are closed. And in that time, there are police and military units deployed just to make sure no one's out, unless they have a legitimate reason. But what's never happened before when I've been here is to extend this over several days. And I think that there's a lot of questions over how people are going to eat, and how people are going to go about their daily lives. This is a country where many people live hand to mouth. The money they make in a day is the money they pay for their evening dinner. So to stop people working for 3 days, when people don't have savings to stock up on food, and when people normally are buying fresh food that can't last 3 days in an area where people may not have running water, may not have refrigeration and other things, I think there's a lot of concern that this is going to be enormously challenging for the ordinary people in Freetown and across the country.
Well, can it hold?
Well, I think that the country at the moment is quite fearful. There's not been a lot of tension, and there's a lot of respect for the police and the army. So, you know, I think that people will, if at all possible, try and observe the situation. But when I saw these long queues outside in the sort of urban slum area today, outside small shacks for food, I could see that the first 10 people were going to get rice. But I don't know if there's going to be enough food for everyone in those queues, and I don't know whether even later today there may start to be tension as people start to fight for food and other things. I hope not. But I think that that's a possibility, and certainly us as a team is kind of bracing for any eventuality. I think, you know, the other thing we're worried about is, you're absolutely right, what we need in this outbreak is to get anyone in their homes who is sick, who might have Ebola, into an isolation unit where they can be isolated, they can be tested, they can be treated, and where they can't infect other people. The problem at the moment, though, is that we simply are not enough beds to isolate people in. So across Freetown at the moment, there are only about 30-something isolation beds. And certainly where I am and where the King's team is at Connaught Hospital, every bed is absolutely full to capacity. So our problem at the moment is if there's a sudden surge in new cases, where are we going to put them? And our health facilities going to become overwhelmed and then therefore unsafe? And so I think at the moment what we're realizing is in as much as we need to identify new cases in the community, what we need to do first is massively scale up the number of isolation beds. The situation has deteriorated far more than any of us thought was possible a few months ago. The number of cases is far beyond what we had imagined. So what we're talking about now is not 10 or 20 beds. We need hundreds of beds. And to do that, we need a lot more international support from countries like Australia, who need to be coming in significant levels of support for funding, for providing clinicians who can help to train and run these units, for the logistic support of setting up field hospitals. And that's the sort of thing that only national governments really in the West and potentially military units who can be deployed here, just as President Obama deployed 3,000 US troops to Liberia. I think that's what we're going to urgently need in the coming weeks to make sure that we have that kind of isolation capacity so that we can soak up these sick people from their families, from their houses and their community, protect their families and stop the disease from spreading further.
So, there is clearly a time imperative with a disease like this because you want to stop it spreading. Are you saying that if that is not provided, if that capacity is not there, then any kind of lockdown serves no purpose at all, or does it just serve a diminished purpose?
I think it serves a different purpose. The part of the purpose of the lockdown is, and the focus of the lockdown is to go door to door, to inform households and families about Ebola, about how to stay safe, and about what to do if someone becomes sick. So it's not the primary aim of this exercise to identify new cases. But what we realise is that if people are going door to door to provide this sort of education, which is critically needed, they probably will stumble across sick people, and the question is what to do then. So there has been an urgent effort over the last week to set up new beds, and even today the King's team is helping to launch another 20-bed facility. There are additional facilities coming online, but I'm not sure that there are enough facilities in the kind of volume that we need. However, we have helped at King's to work with the government to set up a command centre in Freetown that can operate as a logistics hub. So every ambulance, every new case, every lab test is coordinated by the single war room, really, in the district health management team. And we're hoping that, as a minimum, we'll be able to identify new cases in their house, keep a list of where they are, and as soon as a bed becomes available, we'll then be able to access them. We'll monitor where the hotspots are. So I think the lockdown serves a purpose, but I think we have to be careful to make sure that in the process we don't overwhelm health facilities, because if they're overwhelmed and staff feel unsafe and start to, you know, shake or leave the facility, they may be hard to reopen. So there's a real balance here that we've got to get right over the next few years.
Well, Oliver, all the best with it. It's, it's a horrific story that is unfolding almost in slow motion, and I think that's part of the reason that the response to it has perhaps been a little delayed in this part of the world. But thank you very much for speaking to us. I do appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Dr. Oliver Johnson, who's been in Sierra Leone for 2 years as part of a program by Britain's King's Centre for Global Health.